Baptist Church. We trust the Lord is in the arrangements and He'll bless us as we have some things that we want to bring to your mind. I want to use a text this morning that I used just a few last few times that I preached, but I want to deal with it in a different aspect, a different phrase in it. And it's found in the book of Romans. It's one old Baptists are familiar with. I've heard people refer to it as the First National Bank of the Old Baptists. And it's Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And in that scripture, if you remember, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that are the called according to His purpose." We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Now, when I used that that as a text before, I dealt with the irresistible call of God, because it talks about those that are called. But there's another thing I want to deal with in that scripture this morning, and that is the purpose of God. God is a God of purpose. And God is in control and brings about whatever is His purpose. Now I can remember a pastor I had before, and I won't mention his name because he's a sweet, humble person. But I believe he misused this word. And it's part of those five things that work together for our good. And it's the word predestinate. And he used to say all the time, God predestinated this to happen or that to happen. Well, the only thing wrong with that is that's a misapplication or a misuse of the word predestinate. God does not predestinate things to happen. To believe that would tend to lead a person to fatalism or to absolutism, because God does not predestinate activity and things to happen. That is a misuse of the word predestinate. Now let's just go over what those five things are that work together for our good. I always like to refer to this as God's plan of salvation. You know, out there in the world, some have devised man's plan of salvation, and it's all based on what man must do to be saved. But God's plan of salvation does not tell you, nor me, nor anyone else what you must do to be saved. It tells you God's purpose and plan to save all that He loved and all that He chose and all that He elected in a covenant of grace before the world was. And in the end of those five things, God will deliver every single one of his children into heaven and immortal glory without the loss of one single one of them. Now, I like that plan. And that's a plan that I can be assured of, because it is a plan of the works of God in your behalf. That's why he could say, they all work together for your good. It starts off with God as a God of foreknowledge. That works together for your good. That God, even before you were born, furthermore, even before this earth was ever created, and Adam was created out of the dust of the earth, God foreknew you. He knew who you were, and he loved you and chose you in a covenant of grace before the world was. That works together for your good, little child of God. God foreknew you, and it says, and he also did predestinate. Now let's deal with that word predestinate, and let's get the proper meaning of what predestinate means. Now just take the word and break it down. First of all is pre. The second of it is destinate. Pre means before the world began, God set your destination to be heaven and immortal glory. Now you'll find that word predestinate three times in the scripture, and you look it up in a concordance today, and this is one of them, and you look at all three of those things, and every time you find the word predestinate, it's speaking of whom he predestinate, not things that he predestinated. So all predestination means is God, before the world begun, set the destination of all that he gave to Christ to arrive one day in heaven and immortal glory. And little child of God, that in the plan of God's salvation is working together for your good. Now, if God doesn't predestinate things, what is a proper word for the fact that God is a God that's in control? And that word is providence. God is a God of providence, and God can bring about anything it's his desire in behalf of you or his children through his providence. And you've heard men pray and pray for the providential care and keeping of the Lord. The Lord is in control, and he brings things about through his providence. In his providence, God can even take the heart of a wicked king and change and make him make a decision in behalf of his people. God is a God of providence, and the proper use of the word as far as God negotiating things or bringing things about in our behalf or the church's behalf or the children of God's behalf is God's providence, not the word predestinate. Don't ever let anybody tell you God predestinated anything. He only set the destination of his children to be heaven and immortal glory. Well, God foreknew you, that's working together for your good. God predestinated you, that's working together for your good. And then he goes on to say, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, little child of God, you were dead in trespasses and in sin. You were not in any condition to recover yourself from that condition, and God, who has all power both in heaven and earth, speaks life unto the child of God and calls you out from nature's darkness into the marvelous light of His Son, Jesus Christ. Little child of God, I'm telling you, that worked together for your good, because had not God called you out of nature's darkness into the marvelous light of His Son, you'd yet be dead in trespasses and in sin, and not able to do anything to recover yourself from that condition. So the fact that God called you is working together for your good. Now the next thing that this scripture calls out is justification. Now you were justified by God declaring and sending His only begotten Son to this earth, and He came in obedience unto God the Father, even in obedience unto death, for you and for me. Yes, God justified you through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. And when Christ was on the cross, He declared that the work was finished. What work was finished? The work of justification. The work of justification for the sins of all God's people that He gave to Christ. Now that's a work of God, and I'm telling you, that justification through the blood of Jesus Christ is working together for your good. Now the final of those five things is glorification. Now you know, we're not in any condition. We're in this human flesh. It's full of sin. It's not fit to go to heaven, so it's going to have to be changed. One of these days when Jesus steps out from the portals of glory and comes down to be married to His bride, we're all going to be changed. Those that are in the graveyards are going to be raised, changed from that corruptible to an incorruptible. And those that are alive and remain, we're in a mortal condition. We're not fit for heaven. We're going to have to be changed from this mortal to an immortal, where we're going up with Christ to live with Him forever in heaven and immortal glory. Now glorification, that'll work together for your good, little child of God. Those five things, how do you know it's those five things? Because after He goes through those five things, He said, what shall we say to these things? If God be for you, who can be against you? And the answer to that question is, if God is for you, no one, Satan and no one else, can stand against you. Yes, Satan has his dealings with each and every one of us as God's children. But it's sort of like when God turned Job over to Satan. He gave him control over everything as far as Job, except his life. And that's the way Satan is with us here in this world. He has control. If we let him control us, he has control over everything except our eternal life. He cannot affect it. Every child of God is going to heaven regardless, because it is the purpose of God. So all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Now I want to take a look at a few things now concerning the purpose of God. It's very critical and very important that we understand this thing about the purpose of God. Whatever God's purpose is, whatever it is, if God has a purpose, there is none that can change it. There is none that can overthrow it. God's purpose, whatever it is irresistible or it is sure of fulfillment. Now we'll find a couple of scriptures here in the book of Isaiah that'll tell us exactly that. Whatever the purpose of God is, we'll find it says here in verse 24. It says in verse 24 of the 14th chapter of Isaiah, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand." Yes, I'm telling you, whatever the purpose of God is, according to the Word of God, and I'm going to say this about God's Word, we can trust it, we can believe it, we can follow it, because it is God's instructions to the child of God that we should follow after Him and believe His Word and trust the words that are contained in this Scripture. This is a wonderful thing, and I particularly love, I've looked at other translations of the Scriptures, but I'm convinced that the King James Version, as near as is possible, is the perfect translation of the Scriptures from the original language to the English. And I believe and trust every single word of it. I'm telling you, if I did not believe it, if I did not trust this word, if I did not trust this King James Bible, I would not be a primitive Baptist. I believe every word of it. It confirms in my heart what I believe about it, and I'm a primitive Baptist because this word confirms to me that the primitive Baptist faith of Jesus Christ is the true doctrine of what this Scripture teaches, and I believe every word of it. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. And another thing I'm going to say about this King James Bible, it's still the leading seller of Bibles in the world today. And I believe that's all because God, through His purpose, has preserved it and kept it for His children that are seeking after the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And I believe that with all my heart. Yes, in fact, it's sure of fulfillment, whatever the purpose of God is. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Another scripture right here in this same chapter of Isaiah, verse 14, it says down in verse 27, it says this, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it?" In other words, he's saying the Lord has purposed something. Who is going to change it or disannul it is the question that asks. "And His hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" And the simple answer to that question is no one has the authority, nor the power, nor the ability to change the purpose of God. Whatever God has purposed, He'll bring it to pass. Whatever God desires for His children, He'll bring it to pass. Not only here in time, but in eternity. He will carry every one of His children home to be with Him in heaven and immortal someday. So it's irresistible, as it says here in verse 27, "The Lord of hosts hath purposed, who shall disannul it? And His hand is stretched out, who shall turn it back?" Yes, indeed, the Lord's purpose, it's irresistible, and it is sure of fulfillment. We want to now turn over to an example of the purpose of God. There was a man one time, his name was Saul. Now Saul was an enemy of the church. Let me tell you, he was an enemy. He was going about doing all he could to destroy the church, or all believers in Jesus Christ. And he was going on the he was sent by the high priest unto Damascus to arrest and persecute and even to execute those that were Christians. Yes, even Saul held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. Now this was a man, I'm telling you, from my own human thinking and my own human ability, I would not have chosen to be the apostle of the church to replace Judas. It's not the one that I would have gone after. He was an enemy of the church. But it was God's purpose to call Paul, who turned out to be the greatest of all the apostles. And God, on the road to Damascus, called this man. Why did he call him? Because it was God's purpose to call him. And we're going to see a scripture that tells us that very thing. Now the apostle, now Saul here, Paul here had been brought before King Agrippa. And King Agrippa here was hearing the things that Paul had to say. And Paul was telling King Agrippa about his experience on the road to Damascus. And so let's just go here and read some of that. It's found in the book of Acts. We'll begin there at verse 13. And it says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." Now here was Saul. He was headed to Damascus to arrest and put to death those that were followers and believers of Christ. He said, I was on the way, and there was a bright light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. Can you imagine what kind of light that was? That was brighter than the noonday sun. I'm telling you, it must have been something when he saw that light from heaven. And he said, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.'" Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you that I believe about Saul. Now, some may take a different position, and you're entitled to your own position. Some say that Saul was born again here on the road to Damascus. Well, I don't personally believe that. I believe Saul was a child of God all the time, even when he was persecuting Christians. He was just had the wrong idea about Jesus as the Messiah. And when Jesus met him on the road here to Damascus, I'm telling you, there was no doubt. I believe in the mind and purpose of Saul that Jesus was indeed the ones that the prophets in the Old Testament had testified. And he was convinced that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. But I believe he was born again before that, because even in his education, he studied after the prophet Gamaliel, and he was a man that was very established in the Old Testament and the things of the Old Testament, and what God had done to bring about his people down to that point. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise, now listen to this, but arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. There it is, the purpose of God. It was God's purpose on that day to call the Saul, the enemy of the church, to call him into the ministry of Jesus Christ and to go and to preach the gospel not only to the Jews but also to the Gentiles. It was God's purpose. And here was an enemy of God, an enemy of the church, and God's purpose was to call him. And when God called him, he used him in a mighty way. He became the most able and powerful of all the apostles that Jesus chose in this world. He said, for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. To open, what was he sending him to do? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in thee. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto this heavenly vision. Now you see the purpose here for which the gospel was. Now this was not a gospel message to an alien sinner in trespasses and in sin to convince him to accept Christ. That was not. If you read that very clearly, that verse 18, that's what the purpose of the gospel is. And that's what Paul, Saul, whose name was changed into Paul, as he became a minister of Jesus Christ, he went to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. You see, I've already told you Satan has control over our life, but he doesn't have any control over our eternal life. Just like as God turned Job over to Satan, he had control over his life or anything over his activity, but he did not have control over his natural life. He brought some mighty horrible things upon Job, but Job never flinched from his faith in God. I remember one time in the scripture, it says Job's wife told him, why don't you just curse your God and die? And Job said, though he would slay me, yet will I trust him. I trust we can all one day get that kind of faith that Job had. Job had patience. Job had faith. Nothing could turn him from his God. Regardless of what happened to him, he stayed his faith in his God. And yes, it was God's purpose here to call Saul into the gospel ministry of Jesus Christ. One that everybody thought that'd be the last one that you'd call for this purpose. But when it's the purpose of God and it's God's purpose, it'll come about just as God intends it. I thank you for your attention. May the Lord bless and keep you. Pray now for Elder Martin as he comes here to preach to you.
Oh, my God.